I'm going to ask all of you to just pay attention and to listen to some of these great things that make the fact that you and I tonight have chosen, really listen, chosen to be Americans this evening. All of us come from various backgrounds, and within our veins flows a DNA. For some of you, you may be from various portions of Africa or Europe or Asia or South America or somewhere in the South Pacific Islands, wherever you may be, maybe Eurasia. It doesn't matter. Think of this. You and I have a specific ethnic DNA that flows through our veins, and that can be traced. That can be tracked down. Your very science and pathology of your genealogy is within your blood. And all of the nations of the world have those things in common. If you're a German, you're a German. If you are somehow, Chilean, you're from South America. And on it goes. The very unique thing about you being an American tonight is that all of us have different blood types flowing through our bodies with different DNA. But we have chosen to be an American. None of us were born specifically as an American. You may have been born in the United States. But to be an American is a choice that you must make. You can be born here and have nothing to do with what it means to be an American. To be an American is to choose and to decide to adopt what made this nation great regarding its founding principles. And tonight I want to call to your remembrance some very important things tonight as we celebrate, as I said earlier, the 238th birthday of the United States. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." And the Bible warns us that when times get rough, we need to go back to the founding portions of stability. And America today, like never before in our history, the United States, and you're feeling it, is in a place of wandering. Those ancient landmarks, those pillars are being shaken. Some of you might be wondering, how can America, so strong, so great, so influential in the world, become so fragile so fast? The reason why, my friend, it can become fragile so fast is because America, as I said, is all dependent upon you and I deciding to be Americans. Somebody has once said that the loss of our freedoms is just one generation away. But that doesn't mean in 40 years or 50 years or some 70 years and then your liberty is lost. Liberty can be lost in a moment, in a turning of a tide. And America today is in question. Americans are insecure like never before in our nation's history. And some of it for good reason. But I want to encourage you tonight. And I want to say this. Let's not be guilty on our watch. Let's not be guilty of allowing the ancient markers to be moved. We need to tonight decide that what you and I stand for and who we are as Christians and as Americans, that we take a stand for what we believe in. Friends, listen, church, visitors, listen. America will not have freedoms in the future unless we stand for them today. We need to stand for them now. And that's something that doesn't happen automatically. That's something that doesn't happen just by us voting or just by us being here. It must be defended. So listen, when I look at this verse in Proverbs 22, verse 28, "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." Listen to this. The ancient landmarks is also the word translated heritage. Don't remove the heritage which your fathers have set. Karl Marx, the famed communist, said, "Take away the heritage or the landmarks of a people and they are easily persuaded." The very foundation of communism announces, if you can remove the foundations of the ancient pillars of a culture, you can easily persuade people. Today, America is growing up without its roots in history. We've got deep roots in history, but we're not studying history. Most people today are entering college and they don't even know about the America that they're enjoying all the benefits from. And when we do not know those things, we wind up becoming victims of the world around us. And Karl Marx's words would be proven right. Take away the heritage or the landmarks of a people, and they are easily persuaded or easily guided. One thing I want to point out tonight is regarding our nation's birth certificate. America, unlike any other nation in the history of the world, has an unusual birth certificate. Part of that birth certificate that we celebrate this weekend, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Listen, my friends, when those words were penned, and when our founders got together to ratify these words, just part of the Declaration of Independence, those words by Thomas Jefferson, very few of them were uniquely his words. I don't know if you realize that or not. Thomas Jefferson admits in his own writings that he lifted much of the Declaration of Independence, listen, from John Locke in his treaty on government, a little bit from the Greeks, a little bit from the Romans, and Jefferson said, but a whole lot from the pulpits of early America. Did you know that? When's the last time you were taught that in public school? That Thomas Jefferson announces that from John Locke, which was a profound Christian political philosopher in his day, and from the pulpits of colonial America, the Declaration of Independence came forth. We have a very unusual birth certificate in America. The awesome thing is, as I said, it wasn't Jefferson or Franklin or Adams' thoughts alone. They referenced that it came from those who were aboard the Mayflower when they wrote in the Mayflower Compact. Listen to this. In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of dreaded sovereign Lord King James of England, by the grace of God, listen, in the name of God, and now they say, by the grace of God, the God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, defender of the faith, the King, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and honor of the King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. That was written on November 11th, 1620, just off the shore on the Mayflower. The very first founding document for this nation acknowledges. Now listen, you hear a lot about this in the news today, that America was not founded as a Christian nation. It's blabbed about in schools, or it's said in campuses, or on the news, and yet it's not true. The very ones that said, we have come here on the Mayflower to declare this nation to be a Christian nation. Why do we not know these things? That doesn't mean as Christians we go around and make other people Christians. You know, I understand that non-Christians get nervous about that. I would be too if I was a non-Christian. I don't want somebody telling me what I have to believe. And that is the amazing, unique culture that is the Judeo-Christian America that was founded. Did you know this? Did you know that not everybody on the Mayflower were believers? There were some 52 of them that were believers. The remaining 50 of them were not believers. And when they went on to the soil of the East Coast of what would be America, there was no mandate that everybody was to be Christians. But the Christians stepped up and said, listen, we need a rule of law. And it made world history. Christianity never forces people to become Christians. That is not Christianity. There are times in church history where leaders wrongly did that, and that was wrong, and nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. So if you're a non-Christian here today, you can relax. We're not going to want to make you a Christian. That's your choice. Just as it is your choice tonight to be an American, it can be your choice to believe in God. God deals in choices. God wants you to make choices. And our founding fathers made choices. Think about that. The very truth of our system, the birth certificate of America, is recorded in world history. Even though we were a Christian nation, we didn't force Christianity upon anybody in this country. But the Judeo-Christian roots of the Bible became the very foundation of government and of law for this nation. And that's a documented fact. The second thing I want you to think about tonight is this, our public schools. Think about this, how far we've come in our public schools. Did you know that our public school system, as far back, listen to this, as far back as 1680, when they didn't have a public school system, when they did gather together for study, listen to this, did you realize that what is called the New England Primer was used as the number one textbook for the school children in early America? Now listen, everybody, this sounds radical, but it's ancient. In early America, the mode of education until you went to college was homeschooling. There was no public school system. There was a homeschooling standard within homes. And within those homes, they shared one thing in common. One thing. They had the New England Primer present in homes, and children learned, listen to this, children learned how to read and how to understand and write from that early teaching. And I encourage you later to go online and you can read the whole alphabet. But this is how the American school children learned in their homeschooling education. And I'm going to go somewhere with this. I want you to stay tuned with me here for a moment. The letter A. This is how they learned it. A. In Adam's fall, we sinned all. B. Thy life to mend, God's book attend. It goes on and on and on. Think of this. The letter P. Peter denies his Lord and cries. The letter S. Samuel anoints whom king appoints. All the way through the alphabet of the English language, children were learning Bible by learning the alphabet in the homes of early America. Think of that. And you might say, well, that was primitive early America. I thought you would ask that, so I wrote this down. Did you know that by 1780, most Americans could read and write more than those who were in Europe? In Europe, only the high class were allowed to be educated to read and write. Did you know it was illegal in Europe and in the United States to teach your slave how to read and write because Europe was afraid that a slave would read and become educated and want their freedom? But listen, even American slave owners in the United States who were against slavery kept their slaves waiting to let them go. They couldn't wait. It's hard to turn a big ship, you know. Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Rush, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams and George Washington refused to have slaves. But when that whole movement was taking place in a continent and the people were changing, and as the founders began to embrace more and more of the scriptures, we began to push away more and more of the slave market and trade. And it greatly disrupt things with Europe. And the movement was begun. And Thomas Jefferson, by order of the King of England, was under penalty of death because Jefferson believed in teaching and educating his slaves with hope someday they would be set free. Think about that for a moment. What kind of a culture would keep people enslaved? Only some tyrannical government. Only some tyrannical movement would try to keep women or slaves uneducated, without power. And God was at work in America. Regarding our nation's capital, for some of you who attend this church, you've heard this before. Number one, our nation's capital that we today look at in Washington, D.C., it is the pinnacle icon. It's the most recognized building in the world. The U.S. Capitol. Did you know, and I'll point out just a few things, that while it was still under construction, on Thursday, December 4th, 1800, Congress voted on that day to commence church services to be held in the U.S. Capitol. From that following Sunday, December 7th, Thomas Jefferson appointed the United States Marine Corps Band to lead the worship service on that Sunday morning and Sunday mornings following. Secondly, Sunday morning attendance reached 2,000 people in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol building. Thomas Jefferson, now president, utilized the U.S. War Department as an overflow location, but the church continued to grow every Sunday until the U.S. Treasury Department was also used as an overflow facility. Did you know that? And thirdly, the U.S. Supreme Court was added to handle the crowds coming to church in Washington, D.C. It was the largest church in America. What's interesting, if you put that together, Thomas Jefferson was the father of multi-church locations. Church members gathering in Washington, D.C. Another thing is this regarding our nation's achievements. Did you know that the United States has created and developed more technologies than any other nation in the history of the world? Think about that for a moment. We've become so lackadaisical and so complacent with all of our devices and all of our things that we enjoy. But think about going all the way back. Think of the inventions from the telephone, the computer. The issues regarding technology are staggering. But it's not just that. If you've ever tried on a pair of fins and swam in your pool or the ocean, Benjamin Franklin invented those fins. If you have bifocal glasses, Ben Franklin again. If your house got struck by lightning and it didn't burn down, it's because every home almost now in the world, in the industrialized world, has a Franklin lightning rod built into your home, invented by Benjamin Franklin. On and on it goes. Underground sewage, Benjamin Franklin. On and on it goes. Think about it. Technologies. God blessed America. And we're still making an impact in the world today. It's not over for America. Have we fallen upon hard times? Does our nation suffer this hour from almost no rudder? Does it seem like we're absolutely mindless and we're spinning out of control? Listen, I don't think so. I don't think so at all, because listen, as long as people are praying and people are caring, change can happen. Real change can happen. Things can turn around. We must not lose hope and forget what God has started. I understand the Bible speaks about last days events. Look, you know that in this church. You know Bible prophecy. But the amazing caveat of God is that He always leaves room for revival. Nineveh was brought back to life. People in Nineveh turned to God. Think of it. Are things bad? Yes. Could things get worse? They could. But will you allow them to get worse? Listen, don't do it. There's enough to fight for. Listen, how many of you have young kids in your life? Children or grandkids? Raise your hands. Listen, just that alone should cause us to fight for what's right. To stand up and defend. Our nation is a nation of achievement. Now, there's a big debate going on. In fact, I was watching it tonight. As today, I don't know if you know this or not, but today, a movie was launched today called America. And nobody paid any attention to it. Nobody criticized it. Nobody said anything about it until the crowds began showing up today in theaters across America. And by tonight, there were people of all kinds of different liberal persuasions saying all these negative things about America and all this stuff and how mean we are and all this stuff. And they didn't give it any attention. But now the movie's out and people in droves are going to this movie about America. And the subtitle is, Where would the world be without America? And today you and I have been kind of conditioned to apologize for America. Listen, don't fall for that stuff. There's no perfect government, but you're sitting tonight in a constitutional form of government that is the longest living constitution in the history of mankind. No other nation in the history of the world has wrought freedoms for its people more than what you have tonight. Don't let it die. Get involved. Get engaged. Find out what's going on in your culture and stand up for what is right. And let's stand up for what is long lasting. What is beyond the tip of our nose. It's absolutely essential. Did you know that the United States, in its efforts, have liberated more people in other countries than any other nation on earth? That is a fact. You think about that for a moment. By the way, the United States is still, this is amazing. I went online to the U.S., the CIA website has information on this, and I went to the European Union as well, and I went to the United Nations website as well to confirm this, because it's hard to believe. But did you know still tonight, that there are more people trying to break into America than those that are trying to get out of it? Did you know that? People are still trying to come here. Did you know that there are more people immigrating to the United States legally, I'm saying, just legally, on record, there are more people immigrating to the United States every year than all other nations combined in the world. It's still the great last hope in the world today. People still want to come here for protection, for freedom. They believe in other countries that they can come here and have a free life in our culture, in my community, in this community. Maybe we should stop and ask people when we see them wearing their turbans, for example, or wearing burqas or saris or whatever they're wearing from their culture. We should stop and ask them, excuse me, it's obvious that you may not be from the United States. What caused you to come here? Ask them. You might be surprised to find out that immigrants have such a high and lofty view of America. Many of us who are born here, we just think it's just going to continue on. It cannot continue on unless we defend it and stand for it. The United States still to this hour, with all of our financial hardship, the United States is still the most generous, humanitarian, and natural disaster relief nation in the history of America, or history in the world, that is. No other nation exceeds us in that. The United States has more patents and inventions to its name than any other nation. Regarding our nation's liberties, did you know that the United States Constitution sets a world's record on Friday? Again, 238 years we've been governed by it. Absolutely brilliant. Now I want to give you some things right now. And for some of you young people, I hope you find this exciting. I hope you find this cool. I love this stuff. I'm quoting from John Adams. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions and unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. If America goes down, it's because we will stop being a moral and religious people. We cannot let that happen. Alexis de Tocqueville, the French philosopher and historian, when he came to the United States, in his own book, and I quote from his own writings, said, "Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. The Americans combine the notion of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive that the one would exist without the other." Isn't that an amazing statement? A man from France lands here in Boston, and he observes America, and he says, you cannot separate the Americans' understanding of liberty from their Christianity. That meant that Alexis de Tocqueville saw in the American spirit the understanding that the Bible and the God of the Bible wants you and I free. And I want to add this too. You can be an absolute atheist in the United States. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? Try being an absolute atheist tonight in Saudi Arabia. Try being an atheist tonight in Iran. Try being an atheist tonight in Pakistan. It's illegal. It's punishable by death. They not only kill Christians, they'll kill homosexuals, and they'll kill atheists. In America, think of it. You have the freedom granted to you, given to you by our founding fathers. Yes, they were Christians, but they made an open door. If you didn't want to believe in God, you could still enjoy the freedoms. All of us tonight have equal protection under the law. That's a miraculous thing if you think about it. No other nation has ever given its citizens this. No one enjoys this. Jesus said in John 8:36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus said that. Liberty is in the human heart. God made you. The Bible says you've been created in the image of God. Obviously. You're smart. You can have logic and reason. You know what real experience is, and you know what's fake. And so tonight you can choose to be an American. Tonight you can choose to be a Christian. Or choose not to be. It's your choice. our nation's founders. Did you know that 56 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, 27 of them were Bible seminary educated people? Most of them had attended Christian colleges like John Harvard University, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, Columbia, to name a few. Christian universities. Universities that were established by pastors to create ministers for America. Regarding the glorious cause, these 56 signers have been considered to be the greatest intellects of America gathered together in one place in the same time in this, for the same cause in, listen to this, in history. 56 men gathered together in one place over the course of some years to bring about the same thing. And it's believed that because of their education and their IQ, that it's estimated that the smartest guys in the room together for the same cause, that people can gather from information throughout world history, 56 of them were in the same cause in the same room at the same time. Think of the amazing hand of God upon that, I believe. Listen to what William Penn said. Those people who will not be governed by God will find themselves ruled by tyrants. Think of the communism that has swept the world and now really has gone bankrupt. Communism. When you reject God, that's why communism cannot allow God to exist. A handful of power brokers become gods to a culture. And William Penn is right. Those people who will not be governed by God will find themselves ruled by tyrants. Our founders have a deep education and knowledge of liberty and freedom. And they used God's word to bring our freedoms to us. Our nation's faith. Now think about this. Our nation's faith. We were recently labeled as a nation that is not Christian in 2009. But did you know that Noah Webster, the inventor of the American Dictionary, a founding father, the signer of the Declaration of Independence, author, congressman, Noah Webster says, and I quote, now if you don't like this, I'm quoting Noah Webster, a founding father. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed in. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the rights and the privileges of a free people. That's what Noah Webster said. That's an awesome statement. Think of that. Our nation's hope. A lot of people are losing hope. There was a poll this week. And the poll question asked, are you proud to be an American as we come to the 238th birthday of the United States? Are you proud to be an American? And listen to this. For the first time in recorded American history, 50% of Americans said they're proud to be an American. That's an all-time low. And an all-time high, 44% of those polled said they were not proud to be an American. And the balance, people didn't say. How sad is that? But why did they say they're not proud to be an American? Have they lost hope? Are they losing hope? What is bringing them to this understanding that maybe it's over? I want to encourage you. There is a thing that has been greatly misunderstood, and I'll begin to wrap this up now. Because of our lack of being educated regarding what it is to be an American, people have completely redefined a phrase or a statement regarding American exceptionalism. People now believe that that is something where an American sticks their nose up and says we're better than everybody else, and that's not what it means. In 1645, the first statement was made regarding America being exceptional, before it was even named America. The reason why there's this thing called American exceptionism is that God has so blessed this place. Friends, it is absolutely bizarre. This nation is self-contained. and all of its resources. Did you know America can not only feed its Americans within it, America feeds the world. Did you know our natural resources not only take care of us, we can take care of the world. When's the last time you heard that the United States has enough natural gas to supply at our current use our consumption of natural gas up to 300 years from tonight? Did you know that? What about oil? Did you know that the United States now, it's estimated that the United States could possibly have enough petroleum to last us at our current consumption rates for an additional 300 years? Why are we not hearing these things? I want to encourage you tonight. There's great hope. Just because we see things being manifested in a sense of lawlessness today, listen, I don't believe it has to be as bad as it seems. We just need to engage our culture, my friends. We need to remember that the founding fathers prayed to God. And miraculous event after miraculous event, God came through for this nation. In the beautiful, awesome picture of what's called the embarkation of the Pilgrim Fathers, when they were leaving Europe, remember this. You can see this great painting online or in person in our nation's rotunda in Washington, D.C. Remember, those founders aboard that ship had the Bible open as they began to make their voyage to America. And they had it open to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And you can see it today. You can read about that. You can see the painting of it. Did you know in the U.S. Capitol building, there's a beautiful painting of a young woman being baptized. She converted to Christianity. She, first of all, listen to this. Before she could even be baptized, and before she was invited to ask Jesus Christ into her life, she was given the gospel for 1 year to make sure she understood what she was accepting. No rushed conversion. That woman accepted Jesus Christ of her own choosing. And the painting of that hangs in our nation's capital. And from that moment of her baptism, her name was changed from Pocahontas to Rebecca. Did you know that? And Rebecca, Pocahontas, when she went on a diplomatic mission to England, she arrived in London and the Englishman called her Princess Rebecca of America. Pocahontas. I never saw Disney portray that in their cartoon, did you? Amazing truth about America that we don't often hear, if ever. Our nation's leaders. Thomas Jefferson said, "No nation has ever existed or been governed without religion, nor can be. The Christian religion is the best religion that has been given to man, and I, as chief magistrate of this nation, and proud to give it the sanctions of my example." Thomas Jefferson. Benjamin Franklin said at the Constitutional Convention, they had been meeting for 5 weeks and they could not come to an agreement. They had hit a perilous deadlock until the atmosphere was aroused by a call from Benjamin Franklin, who said, and I quote, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible or probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" By the way, from that moment on, they began praying. In fact, they broke up from that meeting. They went across the street and they prayed. And it's as though the heavens broke open. Some of those who wrote about it said the atmosphere completely cleared up. And they went back, by the way, and made world history. Which leads us to this. There was a pledge that came out of that. Did you know that our nation is the only nation in the history of the world to adopt as its national motto, its pledge, its anthem, "In God We Trust"? Some people think that was recent, in the 1950s. And yet history shows us that it surfaced much earlier than that. "In God We Trust." It's on our money. It's at the Supreme Court. It's at the U.S. Capitol. "In God We Trust." And then in our prayers, and this is where we'll end here. Our nation's prayer. at that first constitutional convention in 1787, as I mentioned a moment ago, little progress had been made, but they went to prayer at the calling of Benjamin Franklin. And the prayer that was offered up was such an amazing prayer by Pastor Jacob Duchay that John Adams wrote to Abigail Adams and said that it was a prayer that was offered up by heaven itself. Friends, listen, never stop praying for America. It is your home. It is the last beacon of freedom. There's no place better on earth, no matter what people tell you. I saw tonight on the news, getting ready to come here, that Bill Ayers, the founder of that radical group, the Weather Underground, domestic terrorist group in America of the 70s. Bill Ayers said on TV tonight, he said that America is the reason why there's great evil in the world. Think of that. I can argue back and say no. There's no perfect government on earth. But America has been used by God to be a beacon, to be a shining light. In fact, it was the writings of the pilgrims who announced that America could be a city on a hill. And when Ronald Reagan read that, Ronald Reagan added, and you know it now, it's in history books, that America can become a shining city on a hill. And you remember that. That is an awesome thing. I want to end with this prayer. And I had an amazing honor this last fall when Benjamin Franklin called for the prayer in the first Congress. And Pastor Duchay offered that prayer. I had the high honor at the 113th Congress in Washington, D.C. to offer up this prayer before Congress this last fall. And I want to pray it again tonight. And allow me to say it exactly as I said it in our nation's capital. But I pray that, listen, tonight that God would honor this prayer. And I pray that tonight, maybe where you're at right now, you might say to God, God, I choose to become an American tonight, something that you decide to do. You might even choose tonight, Lord, I decide to become a Christian tonight. Because listen, we can talk about liberty all we want, but listen, the truth of the matter is, you can die the most patriotic American this nation has ever seen, but if you die without your sins being forgiven, the free gift of eternal life given by Jesus Christ himself, you'll never know freedom. You'll never know real freedom. This nation, the freedoms you enjoy were founded upon the Bible. But the ultimate freedom is Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross to set me free, to set you free from your sins, from my sins. That's the freedom. That's liberty. And if you understand that, then you will fight for liberty in all areas. You will defend freedom. I will defend, and I'll give my life to defend your freedom not to believe. I believe in that. But Jesus Christ gave his life for you that you could be saved if you so decide to. If you so ask Christ into your life. Not become a member of this church. No. Not join some religious society. It can't help you. But tonight to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. Cleanse me from my sins. He'll do that very thing. So this is the prayer that I offered up this last October 29th, at nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and may God honor it still. Almighty God and Father, if it be your will that we might be revived as a nation, hear my prayer. I ask you to make us a thankful people, that we would bless you, the author of abundant mercies. Enable us to display a gratitude for all your goodness by endeavoring to fear and obey you. Bless us with your wisdom in this house, success in our battles, and let our prosperity be tempered with generosity. We pray that you would keep the United States in your holy protection, and that you would incline our hearts to cultivate a spirit of peace and obedience to both you and your government, that you would cause us to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly in that love that is characteristic of your Son, the author of our blessed faith, Grant us this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.